Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 won the ticket.
Did you see that the Jets lost?
One thing I did notice is there's a team that decided to make a quarterback change, and they lost. The quarterback that was starting for them was 2-0, and they went to somebody else and lost.
Hmm.
And I'll have to look it up. I forget who. Green Bay.
Are they?
And it was Green Bay,
them?
And they went back to Jordan Love, and they lost. And who was the backup here? Let me do a quick Google. Malik Willis was the guy that they were playing. He's undefeated. So I'm very happy about this development.
Okay.
Yeah, that they've lost again, a team that is expected to be there battling to the end. Oh, man, Minnesota. I mean, on a serious note, I mean, am I right or am I right? Man, Minnesota.
That's a strange story, what's happening. Well, it's strange, and yet it can also be the most amazing story. We've talked all offseason about how set up the Vikings are for a quarterback to step in there and have success because offensively they're gifted. You know, they have great receivers. They're the best receiver in football. And they've got a good running game. They're bringing Aaron Jones, and he's really good. Whoever steps in there, you know, Kirk Cousins was great with Minnesota offensively. Mm-hmm. Offensively had their shortcomings in other areas and whatever. We saw last year that even without Kirk Cousins, that they had horrible quarterbacks that would still throw up 400 yards passing because great offense. Sam Darnold goes there, and we all kind of think not too much of Sam Darnold because in his career – he hasn't given you any reason to think that he's anything special. Now, part of that is you look back at his career, and a big part of that is, look at the teams he's on. Those were horrific offensive-minded teams that had very little talent. And, you know, Darnold, here he is, top five pick in the draft, and doesn't really get a chance to show anything. And then, you know, he starts for years but does nothing. So you think nothing of him. And he's the guy that gets the benefit from having all these offensive weapons, and now he's killing it.
Yep.
And they're 4-0, and it's like, wait a minute, the Vikings are 4-0?
Yeah.
They're
going to be a problem.
We got to take them seriously, I think, here. And they were blowing out Green Bay, and then Green Bay came storming back, but you know, part of that might just be Vikings letting up.
I hear you. This is definitely developing into an issue in the division.
But if Sam Darnold ends up, King and I were talking this before the show, if he ends up reclaiming what people thought he was going to be coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did that just happen? And then this could end up being, they're a quarter of the way through the season. But if it continues to play out like this, this could be one of the greatest comeback stories in the history of sports for somebody who was completely written off, had no success. Like, you and I were talking, comparing kind of like Jared Goff and Goff getting cast off by the Rams. The difference is, Goff was really good with the Rams for a few years. And then the coach fell out of favor. He fell out of favor with the coach, and he was gone. Sam Darnold's been horrible everywhere he's been.
Yeah, he never had the Super Bowl appearance. He never had the second big contract that Goff got. Remember the Monday night game where they had a players mic'd up and Darnold's one of the players and he said he was seeing ghosts out there? And everyone nationally destroyed this kid, right? Said he's seeing ghosts out there. He doesn't even want to play. You know, he doesn't even know how to lace up his shoes, all this stuff. Like, he was the worst thing ever. And to see this, and I asked you guys last week, are the Vikings a thing? I think they're a thing. Yep. Like 4-0, and their offense looks great.
248-539-9797. Our Champ and Chump nominations, as I mentioned earlier, my champ is A.J. Hinch for all the reasons that, you know, I thought his postgame speech was freaking awesome in that clubhouse. I got goosebumps watching it. And as much as there's a ton of people that deserve credit, I give him the most. A.J. Hinch, my champ of the weekend.
I love that speech. It was so perfect and so perfectly timed, and he's amazing. I'm going to champ the Tiger fans that came out in droves this weekend. There are over 128,000 of you. That's the largest three-day crowd they've had since 2012. Doug, you know firsthand how expensive those tickets can get on Friday night when you're trying to buy them late. Mm-hmm. And my niece was trying to get some tickets. She's asking me, should I, you know, pay $100 for standing room? I'm like, I don't know if I would.
And the shots of the standing room crowds, they would look like 3 and 4 deep.
Yeah, it was amazing to see that many people that came out, and they were out there the whole weekend. It wasn't just there for Friday night clinch and then they're done. I mean, it was a sold out crowd yesterday. You know, that was greeted with a tremendous grand slam from Carey Kerry Carpenter, and then saw a horrific missed call by the umpires on a fly ball, but whatever. It was a great job by the fans.
My chump of the weekend, I'm going to go with the Twins. On August 17th, they had wild card two. It looked like wrapped up. They had a five-game cushion for that. Fangraphs had them at a 92.4% chance of making the playoffs. And last week, they completed an epic collapse. They won 12 games the rest of the way, lost 27 to miss emphatically.
Yeah, that's just too bad, isn't it?
Got to be ready to pounce, though, and they were. Tigers were.
Yeah, for me, they were bad officiating. There were bad calls that went for and against Michigan in the game on Saturday against Minnesota, including that horrific call of offsides on Minnesota's onside kick that was successful. In the Michigan State game, you had the umpire literally staring right at the Ohio State player as he's committing a face mask at Aiden Childs right before Childs fumbles it. There was another play where a Michigan State player had his hands all over a face mask and the umpire's looking at it, no call. And then, as I mentioned, with the game yesterday with the Tigers in the ninth inning, get a fly ball from, I think it was McKinstry, to hit it out to the center field. They go to review it, and they come back and say, no, that was a catch. Like, what's that? I'm sorry, the ball hitting the wall, that's a catch?
Did you see the end of the Miami-Virginia Tech game on Friday night? How awkward that was.
I did not see that.
It was weird the way the officials took forever, made a call, then overturned it. And the game was in the balance. It's a very difficult job, to say the least.
It is. But when you get some help, and you still get it wrong.
248-539-9797. Brandon and Shelby on 97.1. Hello, Brandon.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up?
So my champ is the Tigers in general, like the whole, like the fan base, the team, everything. I was downtown, albeit for the Red Wings game, but after I got out of the LCA, people were honking in the streets. They were hugging each other. It felt like the early 2000s, like late 90s. You know, everybody was friends with everybody. They were all there for the same reason.
I got to tell you, Brandon, it's first of all, it's completely unexpected given where we were a month ago. And I guess a month ago they had started to turn it around, so maybe a little bit more than a month ago. But secondly, those games at Comerica Park this weekend, these games were fantastic. The atmosphere was unbelievable. Gator mentioned the ticket prices. My daughter and I was kind of working on see if we could get some tickets here at the station. And as I waited and waited and waited, I watched the prices go up and up and up until finally I had to pull the trigger and buy some tickets that were, you know, that section that's in the upper deck closest to Ford Field?
Yeah.
20 rows up in that section for almost $100 a piece. But she had a great view of Ford Field and could also see the Tiger game and had a great time and couldn't say enough about the atmosphere. It was, as the kids say, electric.
And my chump is Maeda. I mean, the whole season pretty much, but like yesterday, I know the game didn't matter, but they put him on the mound to start the game. And he got lit up again by the White Sox. So Maeda was just terrible and he ended terrible.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with the playoff roster. I haven't seen the playoff roster yet. If he's going to be left off, you can only carry a maximum of 13 pitchers. See if they do decide to keep him on the roster. They've got other roster decisions to make with some players, and maybe there's a player that we haven't seen in a long time that could be on that playoff roster because you want to be as well-rounded as you can. But, yeah, Maeda was disappointing. It's been a disappointing signing because it's a two-year deal with him. And it started off being kind of Jekyll and Hyde. He had some good starts mixed in with some awful starts and then trying to work his way back through the bullpen with mixed success again. And his last few outings, not good.
And then Jobe came out on Saturday and threw those three shutout innings. So, I mean, that's a whole nother roster spot right there.
Well, he's definitely going to be on the playoff roster. I think that's safe to say with the three shutout innings and then he had the other innings. So four innings of major league pitching and their shutout efforts, and he's looked great doing it. Yeah, he'll be there.
All right, hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brandon. 248-539-9797.
My niece, when she was looking up the tickets, she did try to convince me that it was a good idea to get the standing room seats and for like $100. And she goes, but Uncle Scott, that's with taxes and fees. Like, well, as long as you know all that's included, you make your decision. If you be you.